Alan Sinopoli Dance Company presents the provocative and richly imagined choreography of artistic director Alan Sinopoli. Now in its 23rd season, the company shares its work with diverse audiences through concerts, showcases, residencies, workshops, and educational outreach, seeking to enrich our community by enhancing the appreciation, understanding, and experience of contemporary performing arts. They will have an antique appraisal benefit on Saturday, February 8th from 10 to 3 p.m. at the Hilton Garden Inn on Hoosick Street in Troy, New York. The public may attend to have antiques, unique items, and gold and precious metals appraised by local experts. Mark Lawson from Mark Lawson Antiques, Dennis Holtzman from Dennis Holtzman Antiques, and Nancy Toomer from the House of Rose Antiques will be participating. Here now to tell us more about the event are Alan Sinopoli and Mark Lawson. Welcome, and thank you very much for being with us. A delight to have you on the program.
Very nice to be here also. Thank you.
Thank you.
Alan, I always love seeing you here and knowing that the things are going well. So now in the 23rd season, how are things with the company?
Things are very exciting. We've had a very full fall. I was able to work with Michael Open and Ken Ragsdale at the Opalka Gallery on a project. We just had our annual concert at the Egg with a new commission by Cornelius DeFalo, writing music for us. And we're right now in the middle of a residency at UAlbany called Choreophysics, where we're working with a physics professor and creating movement related to the laws of physics.
So how does that work?
Challenging, to say the
least. You have to know the laws of physics, right,
to actually pull
that off, I assume?
Well, we're working with Keith Earle, who is a physics professor there, and he actually approached us 3 or 4 years ago about creating movement that helps to clarify some of the laws of physics that students may have issues with by purely reading it or looking at diagrams. People learn in different ways. So he has given us a number of things, like I've just learned about symmetry breakup and other things that we've heard of, like push and pull and momentum and just a mechanical and electromagnetic fields, and we're looking at movement.
Right. And there's movement, and then there's what the human body can do. I mean, are there detachments there sometimes of where, okay, well, this is a movement, but I don't know whether necessarily we can physically do that.
It's not so much that, is that we want to take a lot of poetic or artistic license with things, and we're starting with a basic principle, and I'm sure we're heading off in a direction that is perhaps a little too extreme, but we'll see.
That seems so exciting. So how do you get yourself in a situation like that? I mean, I think it's just wonderful that even is thought of.
Actually, Keith approached us 3 or 4 years ago saying, I'm interested in looking at movement and the laws of physics in my classroom. Is there anything we can do with that? And it took a few years to sort that through and to get the funding and so forth.
Sure.
And it finally happened this semester.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
And it goes in with your overall mission
of outreach
and exploring what movement and dance can teach us and what we can learn.
And
it will
culminate in a performance and also in a free lecture demonstration at UAlbany. And now we're talking with other schools, either at a high school or college level, of bringing this concept to them as well.
Do things like this, and you've done very interesting projects over the years, do things like this ever sort of fundamentally change in any way how you think about dance or open up new opportunities and dialogues that perhaps you wouldn't
absolutely
have had?
Absolutely. And I'm always looking to be challenged. And believe me, this one is a challenge.
Sounds it.
Only because I am not scientifically oriented. But it turns out that everything Keith has mentioned and starts describing, my dancers say, oh, yeah, we do that. We just don't call it the same thing. And so it's a very interesting process, a learning process for everybody.
So one of the things we're talking about today is this antique appraisal event that is happening on February 8th between 10 and 3 in Troy. And this is ultimately, and we'll talk to Mark in a second, but this is ultimately to benefit the company and one of your big fundraisers for the year.
It is. And this is the first time we've ever done something like this. And I'm very excited. I'm looking around my house to see if there's something I can bring on the 8th. I'm hoping there is.
I'm sure there is. Very cool stuff. Mark Lawson, as I mentioned, is from Mark Lawson Antiques. And you have long sponsored Antiques Roadshow, and this is something
yes.
that you have been very interested in over the years of this concept of going of having people bring in stuff and appraising it. So what are events like this? What are they like for you?
Very interesting. It's a lot of fun. I've been doing it. Dennis and Nancy and myself, we've been working as a team doing these as fundraisers for nonprofits on a volunteer basis for a long time. And it's just, you never know what's going to come in the door. Every so often, you know, people have things like Antiques Roadshow, you know, things, oh, let me see, I'll grab this. And they come in and they're bowled over either by the history or the value that is sitting there that they had no idea of.
Yeah. And you ultimately are looking at, do they typically want to know value? Do they want to know, the story? Because a lot of times on the show and even in events that I have attended, like the one that you're having here on February 8th, it seems like people are just curious as to what they have more than any idea of ever getting rid of it.
I think we see people with interested in both, you know, and to varying degrees. Some people know that they have something that's important or significant in some way, really don't care about the value and are very interested in the story, the history, that sort of thing. I will say that even those people aren't disappointed when those things are worth a whole lot, but that's not their primary motivation. On the other hand, you get people that are just are really thrilled that, geez, they have something that's worth a whole lot of money, and you know maybe that can help fund education for a grandchild, or even pay off you know some of the property taxes that have gotten a little bit ahead of them. So you see a balanced array of intention, I guess.
You know, Alan mentioned about going around the house and finding things. Do you think most people know at a core of whether something is, you know, I'm always amused sometimes when you're watching a roadshow where someone will come in and say, oh, really, this Monet is worth something? You know, I mean, it's like, you know, come on, you knew this. This was Abraham Lincoln's? Oh, that's worth something?
Yeah, I got to say, in my years of experience meeting with thousands of people, looking at tens of thousands of objects, most of the time, people don't have any idea whatsoever. Most of the time, the things that they think are worth a lot are worth very little, usually because of some, you know, market variable or factor that they're unaware of. And much of the time, the things that are really worth an awful lot, even if they know it might have some value, they really don't have a clear idea of how much they're really worth. So I think generally, no, people don't.
What is the state of the market right now?
For really, really good things, it's excellent, as good as it's ever been. For everything else, it's mediocre to terrible.
Yeah. And what is, so how is that defined? It would seem there's far more in the latter than the former, right?
Certainly. Mostly the decline in values that we see kind of come from a couple of variables, the main one being the housing market decline and stock market crash in 2008. The market for decorative objects and accessories is driven by the housing market. People move out of a home, they sell everything, they move in someplace else, they buy and decorate. So that activity keeps the marketplace, even for antique furniture and furnishings, keeps that going. So when the housing market collapsed, that market collapsed. And for a while, the dealers support that, but you have the supply of things is driven by people passing away and estates coming on the market. And that is continual. That never stops. So as the market's declined, you still have all this stuff that keeps on coming on the market, needing to be liquidated. And anytime you have an excess of supply and a less demand, prices drop down.
So give us a sense, walk us through how an event like this will work. You're going to be joined by some wonderful colleagues, and someone will come in and walk us through the process of how it works.
You'll come in and the people manning the table in front will get some sort of sense of what you have. All the three of us are generalist appraisers, so we pretty much have a good handle on everything. But if you have, I tend to specialize more in jewelry, silver, precious small objects. Dennis has more of a background in prints, books, historical memorabilia. Nancy's better with dolls, Depression glass, quilts, this sort of thing. So any of us can probably handle anything that walks in the door. But depending on what exactly you have, you may be steered to one of us rather than another. We do regularly at these things kind of pool our resources and work together. I'll often go over to Dennis and say, hey, what do you think of this? And very often, if I have news that's particularly unwelcome, I may pull one of the other appraisers over just to independently get the information that somebody really doesn't want to hear verified. So,
so safety in numbers of telling them that it's worthless.
A little bit, but I do want to say too, I don't want to paint a totally terrible picture. Inevitably, always at these things, we see at least several objects that are just exceptional and amazing, worth a lot of money, and that people are really surprised and thrilled to have been brought in and learned about. So,
When you say amazing, give us a sense of not necessarily in value, but just interesting and cool things that you have seen that are unique and unusual.
I had a nice elderly gentleman from the Johnstown Volunteer Fire Department come in one time to see me. And when Admiral Perry discovered the North Pole, they sent him a certificate making Admiral Perry an honorary volunteer fire department and fire department member and honorary fireman in Johnstown. Admiral Perry sent back a walrus tusk from a walrus that he killed on the trip that he signed. Send it back to him in appreciation.
Wow.
So they brought that in. So that, you know, it's like it's a piece of history.
That's really cool. Except for the walrus, of course.
Sure.
Kind of got screwed in the deal. But other than that, can you put a value on something like that? And I guess that
sure.
Brings up a question of, is that value different in Johnstown than it would be in Albuquerque?
I think today, with the resources of the internet at our disposal, there's much less local variation in value. Most things find their way quickly to the collectors that will pay the most for them. And there's the internet has really cut out most of the middlemen that were the source of those variations in value. So less so today.
So in a case like that, you have the walrus tusk. That's worth something.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the story. That's worth something, and then you have the signature. That's worth something.
Sure, absolutely.
And you put all that together, and you kind of with a ballpark. So roughly, what would something like that be worth?
Maybe somewhere in the $2,500 to $3,500 range, and that was probably a good 10 years ago. It's probably worth a little bit more now. But the part of the issue that's raised with something like that you raised indirectly was the fact that it's a walrus tusk.
Right.
So there's legal regulations that have to be addressed in order to sell something like that, and that can put a little bit
tusk,
of a
ivory,
damper
all that,
on the
yeah.
price. Yes.
So how do you, Alan? How do you all make money out of this?
Everything that comes in, they're donating to us.
Okay.
These three people. It's wonderful.
All right. So meaning that. When they come in, all the they will pay for object. Is that how that works to the appraisal?
Yeah, it's $7 per object, or $3 for $20, and all the proceeds are going directly to benefit Ellen Sinopoli Dance Company. Dennis, Nancy, and myself, we volunteer our time for fundraisers for nonprofits in these events.
That's terrific.
And it's in the ballroom at the Hilton Garden Inn on Hoosick Street in Troy, so there's lots of space. They actually have a separate entrance if somebody wants to cart in something large.
Yes.
That people can bring. We have a couple of phone numbers if people want to contact to get tickets. We are selling ahead of time slots of time, so you sort of are guaranteed that you'll be in there somewhere between 12 and 1 or 10 and 11, that type of thing. Otherwise, you just walk in, and whenever there's an opening, you get to go.
Just to make it easier for everyone, we put up all the phone numbers and who to contact on our website. So if you just go to wamc.org/roundtable, all the information
that's
is
perfect.
There.
And then it's on our website, too.
Excellent.
And Facebook page.
All of that information is there, and it helps. And you can find out how to attend. And I assume, like, early on it's a zoo, right? Or
The way that Ellen has organized it, I think it'll probably be evenly pretty good.
Oh, good.
Okay. And not too crazy.
Right, not a cattle call in the beginning. Yeah that's cool. And Ellen, what do you have coming up for the company?
What do I have coming up? Well, we talked about the choreophysics project. So that's happening in April. We start doing a fair number of arts and ed performances in public schools at this time of the year. I also curate a festival at Proctor's called the Next New Move Festival of Modern Dance, where I bring in two other choreographers and ourselves, our company, and present an evening of dance, and that's going on in April. And we're actually heading out to Perry, New York, in Wyoming County, which is actually in New York State, in May to do some performances, so that we haven't been there before, so we're excited about that.
And what brings you there? I mean, this is always, you always want to go someplace new and different. So how did that come about?
This year we were on the New York State Presenters Network. And out of that we received, it hooks us up with presenters throughout New York State. And that's where a lot of the funding for our UAlbany project came from. In this case, Jackie Hoyt out in Perry, New York, they decided not to apply through the network, but they decided to bring us anyway. But they found out about us through being on the New York State Presenters Network. Mm. So that was a very good thing for us.
And that is May 17th in Perry. I don't even know where Perry is.
In Wyoming County.
In Wyoming County. Okay. My New York State geography is lacking at
it's
the moment.
It's way out in the western end.
West
yes,
part.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, we're very excited about that.
That's really fun.
Anytime we can go to someplace new. You know, most of what we do is in the 100-mile radius of the capital region. But when we can get further out, it's very exciting for us.
You know, you have to be enormously proud of having a company that has lasted this long, almost a quarter of a century. I mean, that's cool and quite rare.
We're very excited. I mean, I didn't know where it was going to go when I decided to do this back in 1991, but this is where I was living. The next step that I wanted to do in my dance career was to have a professional company, and so this is where I did it. And then within a year, we were a resident company of the Egg. So that made a huge difference because that has been our home since then. It has given us rehearsal space, performance space, storage space, office space. I couldn't ask for a better arrangement. And I have to say about my company right now, which is of six dancers, it has been the same group for three seasons. That's unusual. Usually there's a little bit of turnover for whatever reason. And the fact that we've had the same dancers and all we have to do is move forward.
Right.
And so that's very exciting.
And when somebody comes in, what are you looking for? What is a dancer that fits into
Well, we hold
company?
when I know that I'm going to need another dancer for another season, I hold auditions. I send notices to New York City, to all the studios, I send notices to various conservatories and colleges. We hold auditions here usually. Once in a while I've done them in New York City. The dancers have to be quite experienced. They have to have really advanced professional level training and experience. They need to be strong, obviously strong modern dancers, but the way things have evolved lately, they also need to be very strong technically in ballet and other forms of dance. And they have to want to move in the style that I move, so that when I hold an audition, we are teaching them repertory. I'm looking to see their understanding of rhythm or their musicality. I'm looking to see their level of technique. I'm looking to see their artistry. And if I ask them to create something, can they actually turn around and create and not just take the patterns from me, but embellish upon them and make them better, because that's how I work. So they have to do all of that.
It's wonderful work and a wonderful company. The antique appraisal event to benefit the Ellen Sinopoli Dance Company will take place on February 8th from 10 to 3 at the Hilton Garden Inn on Hoosick Street in Troy, New York. You can get more information on our website, wamc.org/roundtable, or also at the Ellen Sinopoli Dance Company website as well. Ellen Sinopoli of the Ellen Sinopoli Dance Company, Mark Lawson of Mark Lawson Antiques. I want to thank you both for being here. Mark, thanks for donating your time to this wonderful cause, as well as telling us about it this morning. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's very nice to be here. Thank you.
Have a wonderful event. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Again, more information, wamc.org/roundtable. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.